Father, we come in the wonderful name of Jesus. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing upon me as I speak, that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. And I ask you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, so that the word, your word, will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. We also pray that you will release your power in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. We thank you for all of these mercies, and we know you will do more than we ask or think, because we pray in Jesus' name. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, Amen. We're going to continue our study this morning, the book of Revelation. In our last lesson, I believe we stopped in Revelation chapter 1, and it was, I believe it was verse 5, where we're talking about the first begotten. There we go. Yep. And so, in verse 5, in our last lesson, we saw the fact that, you know, the book of Revelation is written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which are prophetically symbolic of every church that would ever exist from, you know, from the birth of the church. And that's why the number 7 is very significant. There, 7 is God's number for completion. It means what we see, what God says to the seven churches, is a complete description of what God would want for every church down through the centuries, and also a complete description of the faults, the weaknesses, negative characteristics that would plague or could plague any church down through the ages. And that is why it is instructive. In particular, the Lord Jesus, to confirm what I'm saying, in speaking to John, we're going to see this later on in detail, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he would speak to one church, for example, the first one was Ephesus, and then Pergamos, and then Thyatira, and so on and so forth. And when he would speak to any specific church, he would say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches," in plural, whereas he was speaking to only one church. So he means that he was speaking to that church in particular at that time, but everything he was saying would be applicable to all churches down through the ages. And so this is so important. And in our last lesson, we look at verse 5, and this is where we stop. It says, you read after me, if you will, and from Jesus Christ, I didn't hear you folks, who is the faithful witness and first begotten from the dead. This is a great statement. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So we're going to take off from here. And here, John tells us that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. The apostle Paul says the same thing, I believe it's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Now, it's a deep statement. Jesus was the first person to be born again. We even have a song. I don't think we're going to sing it today. Jesus was the first one to ever be. It was sang by David Ingalls. I haven't heard a better song. Amen. It's chock full of revelation knowledge. You know, and in that song, we understand that Jesus was the first person. Now, to understand that, you have to understand that Jesus is the last Adam. There are only two Adams. The first one was a created Adam. He wasn't born. Adam didn't have a mother. God hadn't made man. The first man God made was Adam. Adam was made from the dust of the earth. God breathes in him the breath of life. He was created a full-grown adult. He wasn't a baby. Adam didn't suck anybody's breasts. Adam didn't grow like you and I. He was an adult. God created him and breathed into him the breath of life. It's very significant. And so Adam was created. He wasn't born. And but the second Adam, or the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born. He was born as a baby in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and delivered in Bethlehem. And he grew like all of us. You know, the Bible says he grew in wisdom and in stature. Now, you also need to understand that the Lord Jesus, even though he is God, always been God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, but that Word now became flesh. So what God actually did was that he stripped him of his divine attributes, his divine omnipotence, his divine omniscience, and his divine omnipresence. All of that is actually divine power. So God took all that power, the other two persons of the Godhead, the Father, and the Lord Holy Spirit, they took that divine omnipotence, they took it off him, and then he was left without that. And then he was injected into the womb of Mary. That's the first IVF, praise the Lord. You know, man does things and we think we're smart. God's been doing this for, wow. Yeah, that's the first, it's the truth. That's not sacrilege, it's the truth. What God did was that the fetus that was, you know, Mary had the egg because she was a woman, but God's word provided, he created a sperm, and then it fertilized the egg in Mary's womb. But you know that just egg and sperm does not create human beings. It only creates the physical body. It only creates the envelope, to use that expression. You know, it only creates the outer shell. So you now have to put a human spirit into it for it to become a living soul. Hello. That is why all of us come from God. See, your parents were just the physical vehicles that God used to create the body that you would inhabit, but you come from God. You need to know that. Every human being comes from God. Since I don't know who I am, I tell you who you are, from God. That's a good one, praise the Lord. That will stop the identity crisis immediately. And not only that, it will also stop inferiority and superiority complexes. You don't get higher than God. You know, even sinners, they come from God. They all Elohim. The only difference between them and us is that they are Elohim that's broken down, and we're Elohim that's repaired. But that's the truth, you know. So the Lord Jesus, so that miniaturized spirit that had been stripped of its divine attributes, its divine omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, was injected into the fetus that was created in Mary's womb. That's how the Word became flesh. Now, that Word that became flesh grew inside that womb just like you and I grew in our mother's womb. Was born just like you and I were born. He was a man. He was 100% man, yet 100% God. Well, yeah. 100% God, but without the omnipotence and omniscience and all of that. So in a sense, maybe not 100%. But he didn't make him any less God. He was still God, but he just was God minus his divine attributes, which he couldn't have here. If he had them here, then it wouldn't be fair. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's why, you know, I remember when Jesus was tired. Amen. I remember when Jesus slept. I remember when Jesus wept. Hello, somebody. He was as human as you and I. He said, without my Father, I can do nothing of myself. And that's the truth, just like you and I. We can do nothing by ourselves. So he became, the Bible calls him, Paul, you know, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, calls him the last Adam. So in contrast to the first Adam wasn't born. He was created. But sadly, and very regrettably, the first Adam sinned through, you know, the serpent came to the garden. And so he died spiritually. God told Adam, you know, he said, the day you eat of the tree of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, in that day you will die. He died that day. Now, he didn't die physically the first day. He died spiritually. He was cut off from God. That is why you see that they saw that they were naked. Because prior to that, they had been covered with light. So when Adam saw Eve, he saw her physical body, but the body was covered with the light of God. When Eve saw Adam, she saw light. That's why God would come down in the afternoon, in the cool of the day, the Bible says, and he would walk with them. You know, light and light were walking together. God's light. Hallelujah. And you see God's, you know, if you see God's features, you know, he's a spirit. But he has a form. God is not some cloud. Hello? The Bible says he has a shape. He says he's not seen his shape. What's his shape? No. God's the original. You're the copy. So it's not your shape. It's God's shape. Praise the Lord. God's got a copyright on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, God's shape is a head, leg, hands, everything like we have. We were made in the image and likeness of God. So God would come down in the afternoon, in the cool of the day, and he would walk with them and they'll talk. We don't know how long that went on for, but it must have gone for some time. You know, and then sadly, on the day they ate of the fruit of that tree, what happened was that he died. There was a disconnect. It's exactly what happens when you take the plug of electricity out and you remove it. If you disconnect any of these lights, now it'll go off. Well, that's what spiritual death is. It's a disconnect from God. So the life and the power that's coming from God no longer flows. So immediately there was that breach, and now there was that disconnect. The light went off. When the light went off, they now saw they were naked. They now saw they were naked. But the point I want to make here is that Adam, the first Adam, was the first one to go from spiritual life to spiritual death. Now, on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ was the second Adam. Like I explained, he was born of the Virgin Mary. He came with the life of God, just like you and I. Do you know every human being comes to this planet with the life of God? Because you make an image and likeness of God. You only lose it because of sin. The Bible says, I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived. The sin nature, it was not in your spirit, it was in your flesh that you inherited from your parents. So when it comes, because you don't have anything inside you to be able to resist it, it comes in and then you die spiritually. That's why you have to be born again. Is this clear? These are fundamentals. That's why we have to be born again. So Jesus was the first person. He was spiritually alive. On the cross, he first of all actually died spiritually first before he died physically. Because he was losing blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Word was made flesh. So the life of God that was inside him drained out through the blood. That's why the blood is so powerful. That's why the blood just can cleanse your sin. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. It drained out. So as he drained that, he didn't die in 1 second. He hung on that cross from about 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, probably crucified, yeah, about 12. You know, until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, according to scripture. You know, so, and when he now died, he's the life of God left his spirit through the blood. You know, it drained out, you know. And when that happened, then he now died physically. And he gave up the ghost. When that happened, he went to where people who die are dead spiritually go. Hell. And that's why the last thing he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken him? God had to forsake him because he did not sin, he became sin. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. He was made to be sin on that cross. And so he goes down into hell and he stays there Friday evening, Saturday, until Sunday morning. It wasn't 3 24-hour periods, it was just 3 days and three nights. There was day and night on Friday, there was day and night on Saturday, and there was night and day technically on Sunday, because what happened was that on Sunday, You know, we don't know the time. Probably around the fourth watch, usually. Praise the Lord. You know, maybe 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. It was already a new day, but it was still dark. Hallelujah. By the time Mary and the guys came to the tomb, the sun was already coming up. You know, so anyway, the important thing is, so he died spiritually, and he was the first person to go from spiritual death, from spiritual life to spiritual death on the cross. When he was raised from the dead, he was the first person to go from spiritual death back to spiritual life. Adam never got back to spiritual life. That's why when Adam died, when Abraham died, when Noah died, when Enoch didn't die, you know, he's still coming back to meet his appointment. Enoch and Elijah, you know, but when all those great Old Testaments, as great as they were, they didn't go to heaven. They went down to Abraham's bosom. That's why you see the rich man. That is not, it's not a parable. It's a true story. The rich man and Lazarus, you know, they were all in the lower parts of the earth. That's how they could see the people on the other side. You know, so Abraham was on one side. Then the rich man and a lot of other bad boys. We won't bother to mention their names here. You know, I could mention a few, but let me leave it. You know, well, on this other side, and they were suffering. So that rich man said, I'm in torment in this flame. He said, and then he could see Lazarus. And that's the funny thing, when we get to heaven, we'll know each other. You know why? So he said, how will you know about that? Oh, come on. If you saw me in London, won't you know me? Hello? Or you saw me in Australia, or you saw me in Germany, or you saw me in Ogbomosho. The fact that I change physical location does not mean my look changes. Your body is made in the shape of your spirit. If I take your body off, I will still see you. And it's the same you. Are you listening to me? Oh, I see you. You know, that's why we will know each other. Immediately you see somebody, you know him. In the spirit, because his spirit is exactly the same as his nose, eyes, leg, everything. You know, his spirit is not flesh. You know, the body is just the clothing. So the clothing looks, it's chiseled to take the contours of the body. It's reality. Are you listening to me? So when you die, literally what you do, when you die physically, and you will live, you will not die. You know, it was a, God forbid. I know our people, praise the Lord. Okay, so I've said what you like, praise the Lord. Amen. You know, when a person dies physically, it won't be you. When a person dies physically, what they literally do is they just take off the body. Just switch it off. Thank you, darling. And in hell, exactly, he lifts up his eyes. That's the rich man. You know, and being in torment, you will not be in torment in Jesus' name. Well, the best thing to say is that you will not go to hell in Jesus' name. Well, behave yourself. Being in torment, he seeth Abraham afar. So he could see. So, in other words, he has spiritual eyes. So, I have physical eyes, I have spiritual eyes. I have spiritual ears. I have spiritual hands. So you could see Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. The Bible just used the word bosom, means he just made Abraham the captain of that place, praise the Lord, because all of us are seed of Abraham. Anyway, so he sees Abraham, and he knows, well, because of time, you know, he says, look, send Lazarus across and let him get some water and cool my tongue. Abraham says, it's not like that. That's Zulubi translation. he can't just go. He said, there's a big gulf between where you are and I am, Lazarus cannot cross over, you know. Let me try and use I don't know what kind of natural illustration I can use, you know. I was listening to something about Bill Gates yesterday, my wife and I, and Pastor Wega. You know, that's a song I recommend. We'll play it here in church, honey. We should play it here in church for everybody, you know. But, you know, and one of the scientists that he got to work on a project, when I heard that, I said, this is a sensible man. I don't think he's a Christian. You know, the person who was talking, I can't even remember his name. You know, but he said something. He said, you know, you find all these boys talking about, you know, going to Mars. He said, we're not going anywhere. We're stuck on this planet. And it's the truth. You know, for those of us who know a little bit of physics, and they're, you're not going anywhere. You're not going to Mars. You can't live there. You know, there's only a window Once you, when the planets align themselves, you shoot, you have to shoot the rocket, so to speak, in such a way that it will, when it leaves the Earth, as Mars goes around its own orbit, you hit the gravitational pull and then it pulls you in. You can miss it. And you miss it, you don't fly out into outer space forever. Who wants to make the trip? Don't let me, I won't mention his name on. it's wishful thinking. It's okay to send the rovers and it can work, you know, for all those small. But you know, when you put a human being on that thing, you're risking his life. The chances of you getting there, then when you get there, how do you survive? The temperature in Mars when it's at night is -38 or something like that. You know, during the afternoon Martian atmosphere, it's not like the one on the Earth. There's no oxygen there. God made this planet. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is a unique planet. Unique. With the right atmosphere, there are cosmic rays coming from the sun that they are so energetic. We say X-rays are dangerous. X-rays is like child's play. If you get cosmic rays, if there was not an atmosphere around this Earth, it would penetrate. You and I would be dead in seconds. We're dealing with a God who knows what he's doing. So you're stuck on the planet. You're not going anywhere. Are you listening to me? You can't fly away. The only person who can take you out of here is God. And the angels of God. So imagine, you know, so that's kind of thing Abraham was saying. He said, there's a big, although you can see us, we can't jump from here. We can't cross over. It's so far. Not only far, you know, there's such a, there's no way, you know, in those days they didn't have technology like we have today. You couldn't start describing, they didn't know about planets and solar systems. You know, it's just a great gulf. You know, God said, keep it simple. You can't. You cannot cross from the hell of Gehenna. You cannot cross to Abraham's bosom. It's impossible. It cannot be done. So he told Abraham, you know, so Abraham said, you know, so the man's eye crying, like many people are doing right now in hell. As I speak now, your guy's in hell. Some went this morning. Hello. I don't say that with any kind of joy. I'm saying that, you know, is as a fact, because men don't take God's word seriously. Are you listening to me? People go in every day. They go every day. People die every day. And just like in the same way, people go and go to heaven every day. Anyway, so this guy now says, he says, Lord, you know, Jesus, he said, oh my God. He said, go and tell my brethren. I said, I've got five brethren, fivefold ministry. He said, go and tell them, you know, so that they don't come to this place of torment. He said, you know, send Lazarus. Abraham says something that is the truth. He said, they have Moses, and they have that's the Bible. Of course, Moses was not alive at that time. He said, they have Moses and the prophets. He says, let them believe them. He said, no, please send Lazarus. Send Lazarus, go and tell my brothers. God, please help me tell them. Abraham said, you don't understand. He said, no, then they will believe. Abraham said, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, if they don't believe the Bible, even though one was raised from the dead, they will still not believe. Did it not happen? Even before our own time here, it happened. When Jesus raised Lazarus from there after 4 days, they wanted to kill him. And they knew he was dead. Because people came to tell them that we were there. We saw it with our own two kurokuru eyes. Nigerian English. Praise the Lord. We saw him. We saw it with our own eyes. The man stood in front of the gate. He said, Lazarus, come. But the man came for, this man is really the Messiah. They said, you people don't know anything. You know, let's kill him. They didn't believe. And the same thing is going, it's not new, Pastor G. It's going to happen in our day. We're going to raise the dead. Plenty. You know, the Lord was telling me the other day, you know, Lazarus was raised from the dead after 4 days, which is good. Praise the Lord. But we're going to do greater works. Man raising guys out from the dead after a week or 2 weeks. Why not? Why not? Let me just give you a hint here. Get them embalmed. You know, if you embalm people, they will look exactly the way they look when they died. It's much easier. So when the spirit just comes, just put life into the thing and fix a few internal organs and the guy will walk out. Praise the Lord. Jesus, yeah, Lazarus was already stinking. A series of staggering miracles. First of all, the spirit came from Abraham's bosom and entered the body. Then when it entered the body, the life of God now energized the body. All the respiratory, the digestive systems, everything kicked back into motion. Put the heart back. Put the blood back into circulation. Everything that was in there. The thing, the sickness that caused him to die, healed it. And then gave him enough strength to hop. We're going to see those kind of miracles. Plenty of them. Now, it won't be everybody. Just like, you know, I said this over the years and I'm going to keep repeating it. You know, those kind of miracles will be as common as tongues is now. But even though tongues is common now, not everybody speaks in tongues. So will it be, you know. And so, Jesus, you know, was Lazarus. Was raised from the dead, and the rich man told this guy. So Jesus was the one. When Jesus died, he went to that place that the rich man went to. He didn't go to Abraham's bosom. Then early in the morning on Easter Sunday, Jesus was raised from the dead. The Holy Ghost came into hell itself and injected life back into Jesus' spirit. Why did he have to go to hell? He had to suffer. None of us can even begin to fathom how much he suffered. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, Sunday starts at 12 midnight. So he was there for at least for another 3-4 hours. Before the Holy Ghost raised him from the dead, then he, Bible says, he put off from himself principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. And give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. But he didn't stop there. And now, in that state, he was able to cross the gulf. Only God can cross the gulf. Hallelujah. And then he went to preach to the spirits in prison. That is Abraham and all these guys. They were on the other side watching the drama. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And then, you know, and then he then led captivity captive and took them to heaven. Abraham's bosom is empty now. When you die now, in the Old Testament, they used to go to Abraham's bosom. But now in the New Testament, because Jesus has died and shed his blood, we now go straight to heaven. Give the Lord a clap offering. Straight. You don't go to Abraham's bosom. And don't let them fool you. There's no purgatory. There's no place where you go and wait for some time and then they'll be doing some special prayer for you. They'll be, you know, that's why, you know, some people religiously believe that, you know, when a person dies, you know, after one, they'll do memorial, then every Sunday or something, the people will go to church and do a special prayer for the person who is dead. So as they do more prayer for you, they'll be moving you closer. it's all lies. I know that people that do, it's the carnal mind trying to create a way for, you know, it's not like that. These things happen instantly. It flies away. Pew! You know, so these guys are in, Jesus was raised from the dead and he went and preached to spirits in prison. And then he now took that whole company of people to heaven. That was a day, man. Praise the Lord. That was what we call Easter Sunday. Carried the emptied out Abraham's bosom. Glory be to God. What do you say, darling? He led, exactly. That's what the scripture says. He led captivity captive and took all of them to heaven. The point is this. This is such an important thing. I've taken a lot of time to explain it. The point is this. Jesus was the last Adam. He was the first person to go from spiritual death back to spiritual life. The first Adam was the first person to go from spiritual life to spiritual death. And that is why Jesus is called the first begotten from the dead. Is it clear? Now, that is in contrast with the fact that Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. Jesus is the only person that was born of a virgin that did not have the sin nature in his fetus. So the day he was born as a baby, he was born as Son of God. He was born as Son. That's why the angels, remember on Bethlehem story, you know, it's close to Christmas now. Where is this year gone? My goodness. Hallelujah. I mean, we're end of September now. Hallelujah. I told you, I said, Jesus is coming soon. You better wake up and watch and pray always. Hallelujah. Amen. And so you know, that's why we sing at Christmas. Is, you know, today, to you, this day in the city of David is born the Son of God. He was born Son of God. He didn't have any. You see, we, you and I were actually born sons of God, but because of the sin nature in our flesh, in the flesh of our parents, that sin nature enters in and causes us to die. But in Jesus' case, there was no sin nature because he was born of a virgin. So in his case, he was just born the Son of God. That's why he was and is and will always be the only begotten of the Father. Give the Lord a clap offering. The only person that was born by natural birth without sin. Give him another clap offering. Hallelujah. Wow! That's why he is called the Son of God. That's what Gabriel was getting across to Mary. Hail Mary, you know, you are highly favored. He said, I'm a virgin. How can this thing be? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Watch this. Therefore. Everybody say, therefore. Say it again. Say it again. That holy thing which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. Give the Lord a clap offering. One of the greatest miracles is the incarnation. It took a lot of spiritual technology. You know, we do IVF and we think we have done something. It was the ultimate IVF. Mary was the first surrogate mother. She carried God's child. Hallelujah. It wasn't Joseph's son. It was God's son. It was God's word that fertilized the egg. Give him another clap. I don't know. If I said amen now, we share the grace. This is a great Bible study. There's nothing else to say. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Son of God. But you know, I've got good news for you. Even though you were born in sin and shaping iniquity of your mother and your father, because you know, because we inherited the sin from Adam and it went down through the line, you know, the good news is that this first son came and died for all the other sons. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And now, because of his shed blood and the legal basis of his sufferings, he has now made a way that all the other ones now can also become sons of God. So he's the first begotten from the dead, and your number, Coyote, is somewhere there. My number is there. Your number is there. Glory be to God. If you believe me, say, my own number is there too. Oh. You know, most Christians don't understand these things. It's the truth. This is not rhetoric. It's reality. Jesus is the first person to be born. And from that time, from the day he was raised from the dead, anybody who believes in him and accepts the cleansing of his blood and accepts him as his Lord and Savior, that same Holy Spirit, it's not a different one. The same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary, that overshadowed Mary, the power, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall. It is that same Holy Spirit that gets into your own spirit and gets you born again. Therefore, you shall be called the Son of God. Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We are as much sons of God as Jesus was, that he might bring many sons unto glory. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what else can. It doesn't get higher than that. That's the highest thing a human being can ever be. A son of God. The same Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee.
and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, Sarah. And that holy thing that has been born in thee since 1983 shall be called the Son of God. My wife is collecting all the blessings. Pastor Boyega, I'll use your name, but you know. But what I said for Sarah is true for all of you. It's true for all of us. We are not adopted. The term adoption is not used in the term we use it today. It just means that, you know, in the Jewish days when they adopted, you know, when you say you adopt your son, it means your son enters the family business. That's what it really means. You know, we're not adopted, we're born. I am a son of God. I have all the genes and the DNA of God inside my spirit. You know our problem? We've never believed it. Two, we've not developed it. You know what we've been told? You're a sinner saved by grace. You're not a sinner saved by grace. Hello, are you listening to me? By grace, you became a son of God. Your title is no longer sinner. Stop calling yourself that. We are all sinners. It's not humility, it's stupidity. You are not a sinner. You were a sinner. And then you got saved by grace and became a son of God. You were a sinner. Stop saying, I am a sinner. It's contrary to what God says about you. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things, including the sin nature, are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all these new things are of God. Sit down if you can. Hallelujah. You know what I just preached to you today? Paul's revelation. This was what God revealed to the Apostle Paul. This is what I just preached to you now is what will be revealed to you if you pray that Ephesians 1 prayer. These people were born again. You see, a lot of us have the experience, but we don't have the revelation. We don't know what happened. We don't have a revelation of it inside. We don't know it by the Spirit. So Paul said, you're great guys, but I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of His resurrection power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The day you got born again was the day Jesus was raised from the dead. But it became vital in you the day you accepted it. I got a good news for you. Every human being has already been born again. Let me say it this way. The provision for every human being's new birth has already been made available. People live and die and never accept it, but it's there. You know, there are two books of life. There's God's book of life. Then there's the Lamb's book of life. Remember Exodus? When God got angry and wanted to destroy Israel, and Moses said, don't do this. Now if you kill them all, he said, I will finish them off as one man. And I will raise through you a great nation. He said, for they have provoked me this day. God was counting. Provoked me, and they did. Man, those boys were bad. You know? And God, Moses said, don't do this. The Egyptians will say, you brought them here, and you destroyed because you couldn't deliver them. You know? Moses spoke to God. He said, repent of this, your fierce anger. And the Bible says, God repented. You know, God is a very humble person. Because you know why? What Moses said was true. God's a humble person. And the Bible says, God repented. He said, all right, okay, you're right. All right, you know what? I won't kill them today. He said, but for all these people 40, 20 years old and above, who with their mouth said that they will perish in the wilderness, it is in this wilderness they will perish. Not one of them, except Joshua and Caleb, will enter the promised land. And what God watched over that word to perform it. Are you listening to me? So, when God got very angry, Moses said, if you kill them, blot me too out of your book. Watch this. There was a book of life before Jesus came. Jesus hadn't come. Exodus. Jesus had not come. So there was a... That's why it's called the book of life. Now, I've got good news for you. I'm going to close with this, hopefully. I got three finalists. Praise the Lord. You know, now watch this. All we did today was firstborn from the dead. But you know, it's such a fundamental truth that, you know, most Christians don't understand it. Exactly. I will blot me out of your book. So there was already a book which you have written. There was already a book this long before Jesus was born. So every human being that is born, your name is in the book of life. You know why? Because like I explained, the fetus in your mother's womb is just a biological thing. The spirit that came from God. So when that spirit comes from God and enters into that fetus, there is a record in heaven. Children are the heritage of the Lord. All children come from God. Whether it's Sudan, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's Tokyo, we are all from God. That's your origin. You're not Yoruba or Igbo or English or German. Now, I know that's the physical place you're put into, but originally we all came from God. So we're all brethren. For he has made of one blood. Thank God for the Bible. Amen. You know, when I understood these things years ago, all these complexes, whether you are black, it left me. I have no complex to anybody. You know why? I understand our origins. I understand our origins. We all come from God. Everybody. And everybody's name is in the book of life. Everybody. Everybody. Now, if you don't get born again, and you die and go to hell, and it will not be your portion in Jesus' name. I always like me to say that. Praise the Lord. But you know, just saying that will not make it happen. What's going to make it happen is the decision you make. Now, if you don't get born again, sadly, if anybody doesn't get born again, go to hell, what happens is this. The name, the record in the book of life is blotted out. It's there, but it will be blotted out. And if you look at, it's like in a factory, you know, you have, when you have serial numbers. For example, you go and buy a computer now, or you buy a phone, it has a manufacturer's serial number. Now, what happens is that from Adam, when Adam was created, up till today, everybody that is born of a woman that is born, your serial number is in heaven. There is a record of it, and it is sequential. It has to be. Praise the Lord. I don't know what the sequel number is. I can make an intelligent guess, but it certainly cannot be exact. It's in the billions. Now, what's going to happen is this. If the man gets born again, then there is another register. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. When you get born again, your name is now written inside the Lamb's Book of Life. So when on Judgment Day, when they come, what they do is they bring out the books, plural, not singular. And a check is now made. So when you run down this list, you see the thing in the book, Lamb's Book of Life, and you check the second register, you see the name there. But you check the book of Lamb's Book of Life, the computer, you know, they have computers in heaven, far superior to the ones we have. You understand? And then it goes, there is nothing in the book of life. They say, when was he born?
December, something nice out there. They now go to that sequence. Then they check. They check. They check. Then they see the gap. It's been blotted out. And everybody whose name was not found was cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. You will not pray for your worst enemy. It's not a good thing. That's why I did what I did yesterday at Papa Finn's birthday. I always give people a chance to accept Christ. So that because that register is there. Once it enters the book of life, the other one is preserved. Once it doesn't enter the Lamb's book of life, the other one is blotted out. But the space will be there. Why? For judgment day. That he might be justified. So God will now say, come and see. Come and see. See the day you were born. See, I put your name there. See the pastor who preached to you. See the church you went to. See the Holy Ghost convicting you. See the angels drawing you. See how you said no. And that's why your name was removed. You know, God is fair. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? That's why there's a judgment day. God doesn't... Is God not God? Doesn't have to explain himself to anybody. But he does. He said, and the books were opened. And another book, which is the book of life. And men were judged out of the things that were written inside the books. And everyone whose name was not found. It means they look for it. That's why we need to take this thing seriously. This is serious business. It's not religion. It's serious business. You need to know who you are. Just the firstborn from the dead. You and I have our number there. We are sons. We are as much sons of God as Jesus was. I'll close with this last statement. That's why Jesus prayed that prayer for us. It's one of the most wonderful prayers in the Bible. John 17. You know what he said? He said, Father, the glory you gave me. I'm not talking about the glory of heaven. He's talking about the miracles. He says, you know, it's the beginning of it, and he manifests for this glory. You know why? We're sons. He brought many sons unto glory. The destiny of every son is to inherit the glory. Not the house at Lekki. See how low we have come. If you have the glory, you get 10,000 houses in Lekki if you want. So he's brought to bring many sons, plural, unto glory. So because of that, he now prayed this prayer. He said, Father, I pray not only for these ones. He said, for everyone who will believe on me through their word. Watch this. And the glory which you have given me. He said, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. But he did not stop there. He said that the world may know. In other words, this glory is something they're going to get while they're still in the world. Another proof of the manifestation of the sons of God before the rapture. It's not something we're going to get heaven. Otherwise, he wouldn't say that the world may know. That he is the glory he's going to give us. It's going to be a glory we're going to have in this world. That the world may know, watch this, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. In other words, God loves you. Just like he loves Jesus. You are as much a son of God as Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. 22. What's wrong with these guys? Pray for them. Ask life. Wash their feet. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one. Perfect church. That the world may know. So it's something they're going to have in the world. Not something they're going to get when they're in heaven. It's in the world. That, thank you, honey, for pointing this out. I thought they had put it on the screen. And that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. God does not love Jesus more than you. If you can receive it, receive it. If you can't receive it, say, God, help thou my unbelief. You know why? It's the truth.
God loves you just as much. You are as much a son of God as Jesus. You know the value, you know what you pay for something determines the value you put on it. I will not go and buy something for 1 million naira whose value is 10,000. The price I pay tells me the value of that thing. What price did God pay for you? His son. That's your value. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Oh, glory to God. Man, Pastor G, this stuff is good. I'm about to take off. The Christianity is exciting. When you do, religion is terrible. It turns people. Yeah, no, Pastor G, you know, people like you and I, my wife, if I had to get revelation on that backslidden, I can't go to church and just be doing religion. I'm not cut out for that kind of thing. You know, I don't believe in religion and hypocrisy. You know, I would have walked out. I know myself. As a, you know, these guys, they don't have a clue what they're talking about. Thank God for revelation knowledge. Everybody give Papa Hagen a great clap offering. Hallelujah. And then Apostle Paul, another clap offering. E.W. Kenyon, another clap offering. Thank God. Thank God. Those men, that was a heart. This is the real thing. Not religion. Not religion. Religion is boring. It's a complete distortion of truth. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, God loves you as much as He loves Jesus. God values you as much as He values Jesus. That's why He use Jesus to pay for you. Talk to God. Thank you, Lord. Above all powers,
above all things,
glory to God,
above all nature and all created things,
above all wisdom,
above all wisdom and all the ways of man,
you were here.
Before the world began.
Hallelujah, glory to God.
Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth. There's no way to measure what you're worth.
Crucified.
Rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground,
all you took before,
thought of me
above all. Start again. What a great song. It captures what I've just preached.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man.
You were here
before the world began.
Above all kingdoms,
above all kingdoms,
above all thrones,
above all wonders the world has ever known.
Above
all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what your word. And thought of me above,
crucified, crucified.
You took the fall,
and he thought of me,
thought of me above,
like a rose, trampled on the ground,
trampled on the ground.
You took the fall,
you took the fall,
and thought of me.
Put one hand on your heart, raise the other hand.
That song captures the spirit of what I've just shared with you. God values you above all.
Crucified.
Think about it.
Laid behind the stone.
You lived to die. You lived
to die.
Rejected
like a rose,
trampled on the ground,
trampled on the ground.
That he took the fall,
you took the fall,
and thought of me,
thought of me,
thought of me
above all.
Your value is above all the wealth of the earth. That's your value. Above all the kings and the kingdoms, all the ways of man, you are more valuable. It says, above all, you thought of me. You, God put us above everything. What is it not a travesty, a tragedy for you now to start worshiping those things? You can see why covetousness now is idolatry and such a great sin. You don't know your value. You don't know your value. You now put cars, houses, land, material things above all nature and all created things. He says he thought of you. He put you above that. He put you on the same value as his son. Raise that hand. Now reconsecrate your life in the light of this truth. Talk to God personally. We're going to pray in a minute together. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't know my value. I'm sorry, Lord.
I'm sorry for equating my value to creation, to things in nature, the wealth, the wisdom of the world. Oh God, have mercy on me. Even the smallest demon sat on him because they had thought they had captured their enemy. And he bore all these things because of you, because of us, because of the generation that was before us, and because of the generation that will be ever after us. Now when we think about, and when he who was never separated from the Father, who was introduced to us as Elohim, in the beginning Elohim God said, let us, was separated. The pain was so much for him. He said, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken? Even the Father couldn't help him. The Lord Holy Spirit couldn't help. He was all alone. And when you think about it, and then you think of that salvation, that blood, 2,000 years ago, that was efficacious. 2,000 years later, it's efficacious. Forevermore, it will always be efficacious. In the light of that, I want you to just say, Lord, take my life and let my life be consecrated, Lord. If you don't mean it, don't say it. But if you mean it, let it change your walk. Let it change your talk. Let it change your thinking. Let it change everything about you. Be a different person. Lord, just say to him, take my life and let my life be consecrated to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow continuously in your ceaseless praise. That is, let my life be just sweet smelling savour.
rising unto the throne, giving you joy. Take my silver and my gold. What is silver and gold? I was saying to somebody, I said, it is better to be in the house of mourning. When you see a person, no matter how rich, if they put the whole $1 million that he's been chasing on top of him, he can't even move. If they turn back, thieves will take those things away. So why struggle for silver and struggle for gold? So tell God, take my silver and my gold. Because where your treasure is, that your heart will be. That is where the silver and gold must be hid. That is it. So many of us, we find it difficult to let go. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite will I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Thank you, my darling. When I saw Bill Gates yesterday, and I saw Melinda, something struck me. Everything they had, even time together as man and wife, that was legitimate, was all given to a pursuit of making humanity and life better for humanity. Not even for people, for their own race. So what is it that you have done? What is it that I have done that makes me feel I've done something? This man, his wife, they lived in ever constant pursuit. Constant pursuit of making life better. Before they were formed in their mother's womb. Many have failed God. God has lent them. Because everything we have is lent unto us. And instead of using it for the purpose, instead of being earmarks of the kingdom, they have heaped everything for their own good. Say, Lord, take my intellect. No matter how brilliant you are, that intellect is how God should choose to use it to keep them. And then the Bible tells us, see, every morning I say this thing becomes so more real to me every day. It's having to cry. So real. My son, give your heart. Why would God say, my son? You would have thought that the son would already have given him his heart. He says, my son, give me your heart. Give me your treasures. Give me your store. Your ambition. Your life. Your yesterday. Your today. Your tomorrow. Your success. Even your failures, give all to me. That's what God is requiring. Give your husband to me. Give your wife to me. Because in heaven there's no giving of marriage. There are no children. We will recognize each other. But we will all be standing God for God, one on one. Give everything to God and watch Him. Watch Him do what He did with Jesus with us. Make us begotten sons of God to our generation. So that life will flow in us and through us. That to the dying humanity, that those dying humanity might be raised up to life again. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Give you worship, Lord. Father, we just come before you this morning, Jesus. have prayed this prayer.
Heavenly Father, we raise everyone in the sound of our voice that has honestly, from the depth of their heart, in sincerity, made this commitment, taken their lives and consecrated unto you. Lord, come and release upon them a fresh dose of mercy and a fresh measure of grace. Lord, that this consecration will not end here, but they will continue in it daily. Oh God, that you will raise from here great men and great women who will continue to run the race with patience, Lord God, and live the rest of their lives unto you. For your word says that if one died for all, then were all dead, so that they that live no longer unto themselves, but unto him that died and rose again. That our lives will be lives of continual sacrifice and dedication. We thank you because you love us and all good things you give us. But as we enjoy those things, we now share them with others. We will not live self-centered lives, self-contented lives, that we will not rest until we have blessed other people. That the humanity that is dying around us will be raised up so that they too will enjoy what we're enjoying. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nika toloma, mercy, Lord. Jekitu frida kloma toloma shala. Liprikitu fridika tofrenesk. Mercy, Lord. Shala kakakloma toloma. Mercy, Lord. Laprikitoloma shala kakakloma toloma 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 tofrido frishes. Toloma tola kakloma tola labrudo frido frishes. Tokloma tola labrudo frido frishinkara kakloma tolosh. Zofridika. Toloma kakloma tokloma tola labrudo kakloma. Toloma tofrido frishinkara. In Jesus' name. You look also our sons on, but somehow the Holy Spirit had me dwell on this first begotten from the dead.
You gave us beautiful garments of praise,
so we minister unto you,
so we minister unto you.
We bring unto you
our gratitude.
Lord,
we lift up to you our praise.
We offer our lives in sacrifice.
Sacrifice
as tokens.
Tokens our hands we raise.
Minister unto you.
You gave us beautiful garments of praise.
So we minister unto you.
So we minister unto you.
We bring unto you one more time.
We bring unto you
our gratitude.
We lift up to you our praise.
Hallelujah.
Lord,
we offer our lives in sacrifice
as tokens.
Our hands we raise.
You gave us
beautiful garments of praise.
So
can be seated.
The world will know. I want to challenge all of us, particularly the young people. But this is true. Personally, though I'm 60 years old, I feel very young at heart. I still think the way I used to think when I was 23. I'm telling you the honest truth. I don't think of myself as an old man. I never will. Because all in the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, so for all of us, but particularly the young people, your life is just starting. But even those of us who've done, you may be retired and all of that, press a reset button. Are you listening to me? Stop thinking about retiring. There's too much to do. We're going to play that movie. I don't know, you know, maybe this Saturday. We'll announce in church. I will, you know, but I want us to see. We may not see everything, but if we come in at maybe around 6, we can watch it till about 8 or 9, maybe on Saturday or something like that. I want people to get that motivation, you know. But the point is this. Reset your life. Reset your priorities. Why do you want to make money? Why are you working? Yeah, look after your children, send them to good schools. That's all fine. That's legitimate. Now I have a nice house, a nice car. Fine. After that, so what? Then what next? Is that all? The word of the Lord has come to me. The men and the women that I will entrust the riches of the next decade to will be men and women whose lives and hearts are totally consecrated unto me and unto my purposes for the preaching of the gospel, the discipleship of the nations, and the helping of the poor. Those that will not use their resources for these things, who are selfish and self-centered, will not be entrusted with any great wealth. In fact, I will take the wealth of the sinner and give it to the righteous, saith the Lord. Take it to the bank. And that doesn't mean the sinner is going to die and then they're going to inherit their money. No. We will compete in the marketplace. Because they do not have the wisdom of God and they do not have the favor of God, their businesses will fail and the people who are righteous will buy them up. That is how the wealth of the sinner will be transferred to the righteous. It's a word I've given you. The people in the next decade, and probably the decade after, before Jesus comes, the people that will be entrusted with wealth will be only the people who will use it for the discipleship, evangelism, and service of them, and the poor. God has always cared for the poor. Go and check it from Genesis to Revelation. The poor, the widow, the fatherless. If your reason for success, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a lawyer, you want to be, you know, a president, you want to be this, you want to be that, there's nothing wrong in all those things. But if you're not going to dedicate it to Jesus, you're not going to go very far. You get to this particular level, you know, let me say it as the word of the Lord has come to me. You will just be given food and raiment. You won't get more than that. All you have is food and raiment. But if you want to get into the big league, you've got to dedicate it. Pray your tithes and offerings promptly, completely, regularly, and cheerfully. Then take another 10 or 20% and dedicate it to the poor. And then as the money increases, you will find that you can give over 90% of everything you have. The 10% enough will be enough for your food, your raiment, your children, and all of that. So you will literally be working for the kingdom. And the poor. Not for yourself. I told my wife yesterday, I said, the rest of our lives now, I still have some great things in my head that I'm going to do. I'm already working on some things. I've got some things that I already, you know, I'm investigating. I'm not doing it now because I want to send my children to school. I'm not doing it now because I want to buy a car. I'm not doing it now because I want to build a house. No. Everything now that is going to come is going to be for the gospel,
and the poor. God will have mercy on us. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Pastor.